is. Today we will move into our sermon this day, and we are on our second part of coming to an understanding of simple church. And I think there are many people here who would have to agree with me that the thought of simple church seems like an oxymoron. There's really nothing simple about church, especially church that we've kind of grown into in our society with all the programs and ministries and everything that has to be done. When you think about simple and church, the two generally don't seem to go hand in hand. But that's not the way God intended it from the beginning, and that's kind of where we're going to go. Last week, I went over the three different principles that come into the reality of what church is meant to be, and they're the three commands that God gave us. They're the three commands that Christ gave us. The first is what? Love God. What's the second? Love others. And what's the third? And go into the world. Love God, love others, and go. So today we're going to be dealing with the love God aspect. We're going to look at what it means to love God and just how we are going to do that here as a church and moving into our future. But the first thing I really want to talk about is the fact that this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be popular. Why? Well, the Scripture has a lot to say about that. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 5, beginning in the 12th verse. The book of Acts. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Our world has changed greatly. While you're turning, I'm going to speak. Our world has changed greatly over the years. We no longer utilize horses and chariots and wagons and carts. We, as a society here in the United States, are no longer a majority of agrarians, and that's what they were in this day and age. We have come into the age of technology, and that technology allows us many advantages, but it also gives us many disadvantages. Because if the power ever goes, how many of us are going to be able to use our cell phones and turn on our Bible? If you don't have the old style book, you aren't going to have it. So when we look at our world and see where things are, yes, we've changed, we've grown a little bit, but we're still the same people. We still sin, we still do the same things that they did way back when. The Scripture is very clear. It says there's nothing new under the sun. And that's true even yet today. So let us turn to the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say to us about these difficulties that are going to come from the verse 12 in chapter 5. It says, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number. Now that doesn't sound very difficult, does it? That sounds pretty easy. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. To such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on the cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Boy, that sounds like a lot of people were getting involved. Pastor, I thought you said this was going to be a difficult time. It ain't over. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, go, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together and even all the senate of the sons of Israel. and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guard standing at the door. But when we had opened up, we found no one inside." Now, when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people that they might be stoned. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one who God exalted to the right hand and is the prince of and is the a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." As we begin to understand what's happening here, these people came under persecution, didn't they, for sharing the word of God. There was great rejoicing. There were people coming to the Lord. And all of a sudden, something starts to happen. The people in power began to get jealous because they weren't receiving all the accolades. Does it sound familiar? It should. Because the government has taken that place in our society today, and not just our society, but in many societies throughout our world. The government, dictators, whether they're elected or representative governments, all of it is the same. We see this reality happening throughout the world, where it is no longer popular to bring the Word of God into the culture that we live in. Our culture is going to reject who we are. There are pastors right now throughout the world who are in jail for preaching the word. When Pastor Brito was here weeks ago, he made the comment that we should not put anything that he did on the internet. Because if the police find out where he's from, he will be arrested. Y'all didn't know that, did you? The tech team did, because he talked to them. So nothing he spoke was allowed to go on the internet for fear of going home and being arrested as soon as he got home. We need to understand that that very sense of persecution is coming even stronger into our world. Right now, it is not popular to be a Christian. It is not popular to stand up and speak of Christ. It is not popular to love God openly. We are told literally by our government that we are to love God in private. You may go to church, you can go in that building and you can love God, but don't do it on the streets. Is this the same nation that was created for religious freedom? Is this the same nation that penned its constitution out of the Ten Commandments? Is this the same nation whose heroes have died for freedom and liberty and justice for all? I don't think so. We've gone a long way from that. And we're going further and further every day. So it's not going to be easy to love God. I'm going to tell you that right now. But it will be beneficial. It's not going to be easy to be a Christian in a society that looks down upon you and calls you a bigot, that calls you a hate monger, that calls you everything but righteous. Because good is now bad, and bad is now good. You and I have to remember, we are going to be swimming upstream. We are going to have great obstacles that we are going to have to overcome. And like that salmon, I want you to think about what salmon go through when they are in the process of going upstream, when they are in the process of bringing life, because you do realize that's what they're doing, right? They are getting ready to go upstream that they can deposit their eggs and truly begin the next cycle of life. If they don't make it, what happens to the salmon genus? It dies, and there will be no more. That's why there's so few salmon in our world today, because we have literally cut off the rivers that they have gone up for generations, and there are fewer and fewer of them. What's going to happen in our United States as the religious rivers are cut off from us, that we're not allowed to go out into the world and to preach and to teach? We're going to get cut off before we get to plant those seeds of life into the lives of the people that it's intended for. We need to be salmon. We need to swim upstream. And it's not going to be easy. There's going to be bears along the way that are going to be waiting to chomp on us as we're headed up those falls. There's a picture for you. How do you like being a Christian now? You know, there's a reason we have a fish symbol. But the awesome thing is, as we love God, we find that God makes all the struggling and all the strife that we're going to go through worthwhile. How does He do that? What makes it so appealing? Well, I know what makes it appealing to me, because I have life in me. I have reason, I have purpose, and I don't have to look any further than my own heart, because that's where God resides. Amen? How many people are out there in this world looking for their reality? They're looking for that which is going to make them all that much. I hate to say this. How many people are in the world? Over 7 billion. There's over 7 billion people in the world, okay? How important do you think you're going to be in the scheme of the world? How important do you think you're going to... I like that, Chuck. How important do you think you're going to be in the scheme of God's plan? He died on Calvary for you that you can make it to the end. I want you to think about that. He has a plan and a purpose for you, and that plan and that purpose has divine intention. No matter what it may be, and you may think, well, I haven't done anything thus far. Well, have you loved people to Christ? Have you been an example of God? Then you have changed someone's eternity. And I hate to tell you this, but that's worth far more than all the gold, all the glitz, and all the glitter that our world has to offer. Because it has an eternal value that will put into your eternal bank account forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because every time you make a withdrawal from God's eternal account, guess what Dad does? I love Dad because he fills it right back up. It never runs dry. His eternal account never runs dry. Why? Because he owns it all. And he says it's all yours. So if he owns everything, all of it, how much of it do you have? Do you think you can spend everything? I don't think that's possible. But that's not why we love God. Why do we love God? Because He first loved us and gave us hope and gave us life and gives us security, gives us purpose, provides our needs. Why do we love God? Because He is God and He is our Creator. When you and I think about that and think about just how wonderful it is and understand that, yes, we're going to be attacked. We're going to have these people that are going to come after us and they're going to tell us to shut up. What are we to say to them? I'll tell you what Pastor's going to say to them. I'm going to quote this scripture. I said, I'm going to say to them, we must obey God rather than man. So what are they going to do with me? I hope you all come visit me when I'm in jail. Okay? In fact, I hope some of you are right there beside me. Because if there's one place that'll be holy, it'll be the prisons. Because that's where every professing Christian will be. And it won't be prison, it'll be church. Talk about an oxymoron. You can set us all aside. just remember, you segregated us out. You're the people who said we're the bigots. Excuse me? But we need to love God. How are we going to love God as a church? Why do we want to love God as a church? Where do we go with that love? How does it change us? What does it do to us? Well, I've got five things I want to show you, and guess where they all come out of? Turn in your book. And you all know what book I'm talking about. To Mark chapter 12. To Mark chapter 12. There goes my paper again. Somebody turn that fan over there, please. I hate to do that to you. I know you're all saying, man, we got a nice breeze going there. Yeah, stand up here and try and keep notes together. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Mark chapter 12. Oh, I can hear. Wow, that's amazing. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. Beginning in the 28th verse. Now, I think this is neat because, again, this shows me that we're the same people. Look how this thing starts in the 28th verse. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing. Huh. Starts right into the fight, doesn't it? One of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognized that he had answered them well. Now, this is speaking of Christ. And he asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? And Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You see, Jesus went beyond the question. He was asked which one was the foremost. Well, he gave him the first two. He said, you asked me for one, I'm going to give you two. Because elsewhere it says that Christ spoke and said, for all of the law and the prophets hangs on these two. And we need to understand that when we love God, how are we to love God? First of all, who is God? Is there a multitude of gods that we are to love? Is the world correct in saying that all religions point to God? Absolutely not. We need to understand, and most of you here know, in fact, I'm going to say all of you here know, if you've been listening to the preaching here and following and truly walking in the Lord, that there is only one. Jesus said, no one comes but to the Father but by me. I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said it, okay? Jesus said he was very God. Okay? No other prophet, no other God out there makes that statement. Because if Jesus isn't God, then he's a liar. Okay? And we're all nuts. And the rest of the world must be right. But the reality is, I know, you know, we've seen, time has proven. What one life changed our world so much? Other than the life of Jesus Christ. And it is still changing our world. And it forms our eternity. When you and I think of just what this means and where God goes, I have to ask myself the question. When Jesus spoke this, he said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? What is your heart? Well, rather than you answering and we get all these different questions and things going, I'm going to tell you. All our heart is all our feelings. That's all that we feel. Okay? Now, I'm not talking emotions because emotions are displayed. I'm talking about what you feel. It's everything that we feel. We are to love God with everything that we feel. How many of us can love God in our sorrow? How many of us can love God in our anger? I think we've got some learning to do, don't we? Because that's exactly what it talks about. You know, I have a friend of mine and dear brother, and in fact, I just talked to him on the phone the other day, and he's been my brother in Christ since I came to Christ back in the 90s when my life changed and the Lord brought me back to him. I was in the Lord for years before that and then walked away, and the Lord brought me back in the 90s. And my dear brother Mike, hi Mike, God bless you. He and I were talking. And I, you know, we were talking about some of the things that we used to talk about. And I can remember getting phone calls from Mike, and God love him. He used to tell me that, you know, he would stand out on his back porch, and he would be so angry at God that he would literally shake his fist at God and scream and holler at him. He said, I don't know what else to do. I said, well, are you still having a conversation? Well, yeah, I'm still talking to him. But he's not answering me. I said, really? You're still alive, aren't you? I said, I think that's an answer. I said, you have to remember, Mike, God's so big that he wants our anger. He wants us to love him enough to give him everything, to give him our anger, to give him our sorrow, to give him our mourning, to give him our happiness and our joy. You know, we're all fine and well giving God our joy and our happiness, aren't we? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord when things are going good. But when things aren't going good, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, isn't there? God wants the weeping and gnashing of teeth, too, because that's how he's going to transform us. You see, we are to worship God with all our feelings, all our feelings. Then it says that we're to worship him with all our soul. What's our soul? What's our soul? Our soul is that eternal part of us that lives on forever, okay? Our soul is a combination of things, as I see it. Our soul is our emotions. That's all that we are and how we put it out there. And it's also all of our cognitive being. That means our collective being, okay? Past, present, and future, because we have yet to live into our future, amen? And that, you know, all that's going to make up our soul. Everything that is our existence. What did I just say? Everything that is our existence. How many of us in every moment of every day love God in every moment of existence? How easy is that? Well, Pastor, I never really quite thought of that because right now I just don't feel lovely. Right? We've had those moments where we just don't want anybody to touch us. Let me alone. Am I the only one that's ever been there? But all of that, in all of that, God wants us to remember that we can take all that stuff to him. All of it. And God will not love us any less. He'll love us all the more. Because he wants to turn all of that to the good. He wants to train us up in love and mercy and compassion. And then he wants us to love him with all his mind, with all our mind, not his mind, because his mind is infinite and ours is finite. What is our mind? That's our cognitive thought, okay? That means with every thought that we have, everything that we do, everything, or not everything that we do, that gets into our strength. Everything that we think, we are to love God with everything that we think. How many times have you cursed somebody out driving down the road? Now, I'm looking in the mirror when I'm saying that. Okay? I'm being honest. Because there are times pastor loses his Christianity. And it is 900% behind the wheel. Okay? Yeah, you heard that. Because people frustrate me. I love people, but I don't like everybody. Especially when we're all driving together. Okay? I mean, heavens knows, you know, poor Noelle, she got to see it just the other day. We drove down to Washington, D.C. to buy a boat. Ask her, she'll tell you. But we need to love God with all our mind. That means every thought. Jesus said, take captive every thought in Christ Jesus. Amen? And when we can take every thought that we're having, and I want you to think about this. So that means every time you're complaining about something that went wrong at church, I didn't get what I wanted. They didn't do that. I said I wanted purple. And they put green up. Are you loving God in those moments? Or are you loving self? Because if you love God, I don't care what color it is. God made them all. I don't care what the ministry is. God wants them all. I don't care how messed up you are. God loves you all. And one of the greatest things I have to remember is when I start getting critical about you, who am I really being critical about? I'm being critical about God because I don't trust Him to make you who He wants you to be. I want Him to make you who I want you to be. Do you see how loving God with your mind can really change who you are and how you think? Because you aren't all that much. Neither am I. But He is everything. And if our thoughts are in Him, how wonderful will our thoughts be? How accepting will our thoughts be? Now, there will be judgment. Amen, Brother Chuck. There will be discipline. Amen, Sister Ruth Ann. You know, those things have to be because God is judgment. God is righteousness. God is holiness. And those things have to be. But they come as an end when nothing else will work. Did you ever notice God's long-suffering? You know, in His mind, He wanted to destroy all mankind, didn't He? Did He do it? No, we're all still here, ain't we? He wiped out a bunch of them, but He made a way. You see, even in God's own mind, He loves His creation so much that He could not wipe us out. But there's a time coming when a judgment will come that all those who are unrighteous will be judged. And that's what we need to teach people about because the love of God wants to receive everybody. I would that every man turn from sin, says the Lord, and choose life. That's Old Testament. And then the final thing is we're to love God with all our strength. You know, I struggled with this. How many of you have ever struggled with that? How am I supposed to love God with all my strength? Does that mean when I'm out there lifting weights, I'm loving God, yep, pumping iron? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't do a whole lot of that, okay? About the only thing I pump is up a tree when I'm going archery hunting. Up a tree. But I'm supposed to love God with all my strength. What does that mean? I am to love God, now please write this down. I am to love God with all my energies. I am to do all things in intense affection of my Lord. Okay? Please write that down. All right? Please write that down. We are to love God with all our energies, that in all we do, we are to love God with intense affection. In everything that we do. In other words, when you are collecting the offering, you are to intensely collect that offering, loving God. You know, in other words, put that thing right there in front of Brother Chris and say, love God, put more in there. No, I don't mean that. That's not true. What I mean is, when we are in the process of our ministries, all that we are, every piece of our strength should be concentrated on allowing that to show the love that we have of God. It is our primary focus. He is our primary focus in all that we are doing. Our intensity in the energies that we are expediting to do anything are to show the love of God that we have within us. How many of us would have a changed life if we did everything with that kind of intensity and energy? There would be nothing mediocre in the church. Everything would be done in excellence, and it would be seen and known and felt. So you see, when Jesus tells us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, brothers and sisters, that's what I talk about every Sunday when we take the offering. That we are to love God with everything we are. That is what he wants. He wants all that we are. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. So how are we going to do that here in the house of the Lord? How are we going to express in simple church fashions, how are we going to love the Lord? Well, you know, it's funny because simple church, pastor gets behind it, I have a list of five things. The first thing we're going to do is worship God. How do we worship God? We worship Him every Sunday. What we're doing right now is showing our love of God. Because you're all listening to me, you're not showing me love, you're showing Him love. Because if I'm not expounding the Word of God, if I'm not bringing to you the truth of God, you need to stand up and say, you're a liar. Okay? And I'm serious about that. Because if I'm not espousing the Word of God, the way it is written in the book of His Word, then you need to make sure that I'm not here because you're not loving God, you're loving me. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to love me. I want to love God. I want to do what He wants me to do. So we're going to worship God from beginning to end. Everything that we are doing is going to be about loving God. Miss Sally started us today in gathering together. For what? We gathered together to love God and remember those men and women who sacrificed their lives because that reminds us of what Christ did for each and every one of us. We need to remember the sacrifices that were given, okay? We would do well to remember. Wow, we talked about that today in discipleship, didn't we? That we would do well to remember and to talk about that because that's one of our second things that we need to do. We need to encourage one another to talk about God everywhere and all the time. The second thing we need to do as a church is talk about God everywhere, all the time. That means when you're at home, what do you talk about at the dinner table? How did God bless your day? No. How many of you talk about, well, gee, Sally looked at me silly today and it made me feel so bad. You know, teenagers, right? And then mom and dad come home and they say, work was horrible. My boss was being a real jerk today and rah, 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 rah. We complain. Why aren't we exhibiting the joys of the Lord? God provided my sustenance today. I went to work and I got 8 hours of pay, and now I can pay the bills and the groceries are going to come. I get to keep the air conditioning on. You can keep your cell phone. We don't talk about the joys. We talk about the junk. We need to get out of that. We need to begin understanding that as we are doing that, we are telling God, I don't trust you. Sorry, I didn't mean to spit. But I get a little fired up. We need to understand that when we're loving God, none of this stuff matters. None of it matters. It's all a process of getting us to the end. Because it's what comes in the end that is the matter. And the matter is God's love and accepting us into eternity forever and ever to be with Him. And are we going to love God in every moment of every day? Are we going to express it? I had the most wonderful opportunity just yesterday. I drove, I think it was 78 miles one way. No, it was a little bit more than that. Anyhow, but I drove down below Oxford, Pennsylvania to look at a boat. Now, I've got two sitting in my yard, if any of you haven't noticed, okay? I have two sitting in my yard, but I went to look at a boat. And the reason this is funny is because I thought I was there to look at a boat, but I wasn't there to look at a boat. I was there to talk to two gentlemen. When I pulled in, I got in this gentleman's driveway, the big no trespassing sign, keep out, how did it say that? No trespassing. Prosecutors or violators will be prosecuted, keep out in big letters. But then up on the hill was this great big 10-foot cross. So I stopped at the bottom of the hill and I called. I said, is this your driveway? There's this big tree up here with two signs on it, keep out, no trespassing. Yeah, that's me. Come on up. You're welcome to come up. Yeah, come on. I'm like, okay, didn't want to get shot. So I got up there and I walk up to these two gentlemen who are sitting at a picnic table out behind the house, and they're sitting there. One of them has a half a gallon of orange juice and a fifth of vodka. The other has a half a gallon of tomato juice and a fifth of gin. And the first thing they said to me is, "Would you like a drink?" And I said, "No, thank you. I don't drink and drive." And we started talking. I was asking them about the boat. And finally, the one gentleman by the name of David says to me, "So what do you do for a living?" I said, "Okay, Lord, you opened the door. I'm walking in." And for the next hour, I sat there and talked to those men about Jesus Christ and His love. And the first thing that the one gentleman said to me was, "Oh, I guess I shouldn't have offered you a drink." I said, "No, if I weren't driving, I'd have accepted it." I said, "There's nothing wrong with drinking. It says in the Word, be not drunk." And the one gentleman looked at me and says, "Oh, we're not supposed to get drunk." I said, "No." I said, "It's okay to have a drink, but don't get drunk." He said, "Well, I drink a lot." I said, "Are you drunk a lot?" And he just sat there. That answered my question. But I didn't judge him. I didn't judge either one of them. I showed them the love of Christ. We had a wonderful conversation. And when I left, they both thanked me. And the one gentleman said to me, he said, Presbyterian? I can't remember what he said. And I just looked at him, I said, "God saves them too." And he laughed. Okay? And I told him, I said, "I don't care what denomination you are, my whole point is this. Do you love Jesus? Do you know who He is? Do you talk to Him? And is your life centered around Him? Or is your life centered around all this other stuff?" So I was able to speak of God to two gentlemen miles away. I thought I was going to look at a boat. I ain't even going back. That boat's junk. It's junk. Okay? But those two lives are not. In fact, the one gentleman, God love him, he's waiting for a heart transplant. Yeah. So we need to pray for David. We need to pray for David. And we need to pray for Ed, okay? We need to pray for David, and we need to pray for Ed. Two men who are my age who really don't know what's going on. I planted seeds. And, you know, hey, that cross hanging there on the hill, you know, he told me, he said, "Yep, I light that thing up a week before Christmas, and then I let it up until the first, and then I light it for Easter." I said, "Awesome. That's wonderful. Do you invite God in any other time?" "Well, I grew up in the church." I said, "Really? Where are you now?" Wonderful conversation. Loved my conversation. Never judged him. And I had an awesome time. When we left, they shook my hands. In fact, the one brother looked at me and he said, "Man, if you're ever here, stop in." I said, "I'll have to do that when I got my wife. That way I can have a drink with you. She can drive home." And they laughed. Don't judge people. Remember, by the same measure you use, so shall it be measured unto you. I'm not going to judge them, okay? I'm going to love them. I'm not going to accept their sin, and I was very clear about that. And we need to do the same. We need to speak of God's love. The next thing that we need to do is here in our church, we need to share what God's doing in our lives. What I just did with you right now, we need to share those things on a regular basis. We need to literally have time during a service where we have testimony time. If you've got something you want to say, God did something in your week, we need to allow you that time. We need to literally say, "Today we're going to share testimony. I want to hear testimony." You know, Pastor has done that before, and I felt like I was on Mars. Because I would have to talk for 5 minutes to try and get somebody to stand up. You're all great with me talking, but when it's up to you and you have to speak, you all clam up. Now, I know you folks, and you talk a lot. But for some reason, when we're in church, it's like, "Oh, I can't do that." You're just telling of God's goodness to the people here who love you, and we need to share that stuff. We need to see and know what God is doing in your lives. You know, and this is cool, because I'm going to pick on a set of parents over here, okay? And Ryan and Shannon will understand. God does awesome things through JJ, doesn't he? He will show you things that it's like, oh my goodness. You know, right there is God. And we need to hear that. We need to hear how he is growing in the Lord and the things that he's doing. That's going to encourage us. And it'll keep us reminded to pray for you and to pray for him. Because we need each other in this fight. Okay? How many of us pray on a regular basis for our teens? Okay? You know, I think about our youth all the time. They need to share with us what's happening in their lives. All right? How many of you know Jacob's been working all summer? Working hard. Okay? And Charles went to cop camp. Okay? You know, we need to know what's going on in their lives. Because as they share with us, if they're willing to share with us, then we are able to hear and know what's happening in their lives and get real and become that community that we're supposed to be. But we have bought into the lies of this world that says, that's all personal. Keep that stuff quiet. You don't say those things. Because if you let people in, they're going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. Well, I hate to tell you this. You know, we are flawed. Amen. We are broken. Amen. And we need to be able to share in the reality of not having any retaliation coming against us. And it's one of the most amazing things, because when we were together, the men up at the mountains, how much sharing went on, Brother Chuck? Tons. Tons. And people were touched. Lives were affected. And we came home, and now we're going to be starting October 2nd. We're going to have our first man code meeting. Ooh, ooh, ooh. As Brother Bobby said this morning. Okay? Of course, the women are going to have their time together. As Miss Beth said this morning also. And we need to understand that it's during those times of intimate, true encouragement that we will grow as a congregation, because we're truly showing our love of God and what he's doing in our lives and how we need that to continue and how we want to share that love with each other, because then it encourages each of us to have our eyes open. Because right now, I hate to say this, but every one of us, if I told you to write down 10 good things that happened this week and 10 bad things, which side of the list would fill up first? 10 of the bad, because we know all them. We'd have to think about the good ones. But the 10 bad, we could pop them off. Boop, 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 boop. We'd be done with the list before we got to number 3, right? In our mind, we'd know all 10. Filling the other side of the list, we'd probably be here a half an hour. And it needs to reverse. We need to be able to see and know the good of God and to share it with each other. The fourth thing that we need to do is we need to study the Word together. That's God's word. He tells us that in Timothy. He says study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of the word. Okay? We need to come together, because how are we going to have an intimate relationship with someone we don't know? I don't know about you, but I don't think I could have an intimate relationship with my wife if I didn't know her. I'd like to see you explain Russell if that was the case. Okay? We need to understand, if you want to have an intimate relationship with God, you got to be in the room with him. Which means you got to get into his word. John 1:1. What is John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. And the Word still is God. And we need to remember that the Word is the light of the world. It's the light of our lives. When we get with him in study, he illuminates us to the things that are happening around us. And we can see truth in every situation. The love of God allows us protection. The love of God allows us provision. The love of God allows us insight into the future and allows us to be determining even now the way we should be living and what we should be doing. And that does not come through osmosis. Well, I go to church every Sunday. So does Satan. And he's not getting in, people. Walking in a door does not heaven make. Having a relationship that is real, that is vested, that costs something, that gets you into heaven. Because it cost him everything. He who is life gave up life that we may have it. And may we never forget that. And then finally, the last thing that we need to do, the last thing is, as we look at Simple Church and how we're going to do this here at church, and you know, it's my hope that we can bring all these things in, is to love God through service. Isn't it amazing how this stuff just... Today's Bible study, Joshua, was just so amazing. You know, I'm going to put in a plug here. You know, we're starting a new series next week in the adult class. And if you're not here for the adult class, I encourage you to be here for the adult class, because we're going to be looking at end times, okay? And how many of us want to know what's going to happen in the end times, okay? You know, it's funny because our youth have been studying it for how long now? You know, and we're in chapter 14, I believe, 14 or 15, and they're loving it. They're eating it up, and they're getting it. They're understanding it. And we need to understand. So I'm going to invite you. We need to come together. We need to have these places where we can serve one another in the church. And I want you to understand that service means being involved in Bible study, means being involved in the teaching of our Word. You know, some of you think, well, I'm not qualified to be a teacher. Well, you know, we have a curriculum that all you have to do is a little bit of study and you will be qualified. Isn't that right, Miss Dottie? Our curriculum is so easy. We just need people who are willing to share the love of the Lord with our children. And that's what we need. It's that simple. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. It's just, you're a Christian, right? Do you love God? Do you love His children? If those answers are yes, then you can teach. Now, does that mean every one of us should be a teacher? I'm going to ask the teacher, the real teacher in the classroom. Should every one of us be a teacher? You're exactly right. Because some of us just ain't equipped. Okay? I have to say it. Some of us are not gifted along that line. But if you have the desire, then I'm going to tell you you're gifted. Because that's the first part of the gift, the desire to want to teach others. Okay? Not for your own personal gain, but because you feel God wants you to share what you know. And as we get into the acts of service, you know, Brother Chuck just went down to Nicaragua a couple weeks ago, and Brother Wayne... And, you know, we look at the missions and the way we can serve. And I want you to think about something else, because, you know, it was so amazing to me when I walked in, and the brother had no idea how, when I saw him, just thrilled my heart. Because Brother Chris is in uniform today. He doesn't wear a uniform every day. I have a feeling he's wearing it today because of what today is. Am I correct? No? Okay. That's fine. But I look at it and I say to myself, you know what? We call what you do service, because you serve in the U.S. Army Reserves. Am I correct? How many of us look at everything we do as service? That's your job. That's being a mother or a father, being a grandma, being a daughter or a mom. It's understanding that everything we are or everything we do is a service. And in our acts of service, whatever they are, whether they be in the church or whether they be in life, okay, we are to serve with all our strength. Isn't that what we just read earlier? Okay? So when we look at all these different ways, these five different ways, worship, as we come together to celebrate God, what we're doing here today, as we encourage one another through word, and talk about God everywhere to everyone. You know, and that to me is one of the most amazing things. How many of you have ever struck up a conversation with your waitress at a restaurant? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever struck up a conversation in a restaurant with your waitress about God? We're willing to talk to people, but just not about Him. We'll do that at home with the family or at church, with them church people. Aren't we supposed to be witnesses to the world? Let's become those witnesses. Let's share what God is doing among us. I want to hear that you talked to that waitress and, oh, it was so amazing. You know, I have no idea what happened, but we need to pray for her, and her name is Boop. And we're praying until we find out that that soul just got saved. The kids love my analogies, and that's cool. And no, her name wouldn't be Boop. No, I don't, you know. And then we need to study, and then from study to serve. And if we can get these places right, if we can move in all of this, then we can truly love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Because each one of these things pulls those very realities together into forming a whole in our lives. And we will live the commandment that Jesus has taught us. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Simple Church because I think it's time to get rid of all the clutter and just love God, love others, and go out there and spread the Word of God, teaching them to obey everything that He has commanded. Amen? If church were that simple, how many people do you think would be in our church? But so many people say, oh man, I'm not going to that church. Do you know what they ask of you? Oh my goodness, if you go there, you got to belong to this ministry and that ministry. You got to do this and you got to do that. And right now, many of you feel that way, don't you? Be honest, you do. Because we're a small church trying to do everything church does. So guess what pastor's going to do? I'm going to start taking the axe to some things. Because we aren't big enough to do everything. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to do it well to the glory of God and to the edification of each and every one of us here, unto the edification of our community. And then as we grow, we'll start to add other things. But we're not putting one more item on the calendar. Not one. There'll be no more special events. Okay? We have enough of them. There'll be no more special ministries. Well, we need to start this. No, we don't need to start that. If you want to start that, you go start that. But the church isn't. We're going to understand that we need to love God, love others, and go. And if we can do that, our church life is going to get so much simpler and will truly become part of a community. Look around you. Look around you. How many people do you see here today? How many people here, Chuck? There's 49 people here. 1 year ago today, do you know how many people were here? Yeah. I thought it was 75. Because I know we were running right between, yeah, we were running, that was about our average. I think it was either 75, 76. So, where are they? Where have they gone? I want you to think about this. Because something's not right. And we need to find what's right. That means we need to find God's heart. And we need to begin moving in it. And if we don't, we're going to see even more people go. We are the Heart of Christ Church. We're here to transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. Where does it start? Right here. Let us be transformed first, that we may help others to transform, to understand that we need to love God, love others, and go. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, we thank you so much for just who you are, and that we can come together as a body and love you. And Lord, today I think I've challenged each and every one of us to love you a little bit more, to see, Father, that love goes beyond what we think it is and to that which you say it is, because it's our everything. It takes up our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. There's not one portion of us that can be missing or lacking. So, Father God, I just ask that you would bless each person here, that their hearts may be changed, that our lives may be open, that we may bring our love, true love, to your heart. Thank you, Father, for meeting us, and thank you for joining us. May this our day be a blessing to you unto the weeks to come, that we may truly become the heart of Christ's church. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.